The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went down to live in Capernaum by the sea, near the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what had been said through Isaiah the prophet. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, along the sea beyond the Jordan, heathen Galilee, a people living in darkness, has seen a great light. On those who inhabit a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to proclaim this theme: reform your lives, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he watched two brothers, Simon, now known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately abandoned their nets and became his followers. He walked along further and caught sight of two other brothers, James, Zebedee's son, and his brother John. They too were in their boat, getting their nets in order with their father Zebedee. He called them, and immediately they abandoned boat and father to follow him. Jesus toured all of Galilee. He taught in their synagogues, proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and cured the people of every disease and illness. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Lord Jesus. On Sundays, there's usually a little longer homily. Our theme for the homily, based on the gospel we've just read, is vocation and mission. Vocation, of course, means calling. Vocare, to call. Vocatio, a calling. Mission, from the Latin mittere. Missio, a sending. The purpose of every vocation is to be sent. And the main reason for obedience is to unite vocation and mission. Christ called 12 men, the ones of the gospel, simple fishermen. This has been Christ's policy ever since. Ordinary, simple, and, shall I say, unacademic, untrained, not professionals. Christ called them, and immediately they were fishing. They stopped fishing. They were in a boat. Father is there with James and John, Zebedee. They left everything, that's what the gospel says. A vocation is worse than useless unless the one who receives the vocation responds immediately, promptly. And the key behind vocation is leaving everything behind in order to follow Christ. Christ told them, "I will make you fishers of men." In other words, their task in life until they received their vocation was, well, to catch fish. And as we know from other episodes of the Gospels, they were not very good fishermen. Remember, one whole night after Christ's resurrection, whole night, they caught nothing. What then was the mission? The mission was to bring others to Christ. We are called by Christ. We are to follow Christ, and our mission is to bring others to Christ. No one is called for serving or benefiting or profiting himself. The purpose of our vocation is our mission. Let's be a little more clear. Christ does the calling. During his visible stay on earth, Christ personally, individually, specially, selectively call certain people. We may loosely call people who have, say, a desire for marriage or single life in the world. We may speak of that as vocation, but put that in quotation marks. Vocation, properly speaking, is a special, individual, distinctive, unique call from Christ. In other words, most people do not get a vocation. Christ did not get on top of a low hill in Galilee and call the crowd, "Come, follow me." No, individually, specifically, distinctively. And our vocation begins, I think I've said in one of our conferences, already at baptism. Better, our vocation goes back into eternity. One of the questions asked yesterday was about predestination. Well, our vocation is a predestination. God does not make up his mind. He knows, he plans from all eternity whom he will then call. During his public ministry, our Lord called people, well, audibly they could hear his voice. but having instituted the church. The call then comes from Christ, but through the church. Those who have authority in the church are the ones who under God are the ones who do the calling. Of course, the grace must come from Christ. But the grace is not enough. The grace must somehow be externalized, vocalized, as it was in the Gospels. We are, as we say, admitted to a religious community. Those who are in authority in the community are authorized, and there is no more important role for those in authority in the church than to call certain people, judge them worthy, capable of serving Christ. But then, the hard part. It's great to have a vocation. Wonderful. I'm a religious. We take our vows. But the purpose of our vocation, I repeat, is not for ourselves. Even the purpose of growing in sanctity, holiness, is not for ourselves. The purpose of a vocation is to be sent. And I'm talking to the right audience. I know of no other community in the world. I know a lot of communities that has as many places where you can be sent. And they understand even the morning before you're sent. Are you consulted before you're sent? Do you have a dialogue with your superior? I'm working with our provincial in Chicago. Each spring, he would work on the status. That meant where the people would be sent for the next year, mainly, of course, to teach. All the members of the province, all the names. And there was a blind pulled down over the names. He would spend weeks shifting, changing the names. Shall I send Father so-and-so to such and such a place? And that was the Society of Jesus that I joined. And the status came out. And for whatever reason, August the 17th of each year, you didn't know where you were going to be sent. Strict confidence until the status came out. And when he saw your name, many people rent a chapel. To be sent is passive voice. And as I so well know, one of the crises, major crises, in one religious community after another is that the spirit of obedience has weakened and in not a few cases has died. People are literally consulted, reasoned with, argued with. Won't you go there? I don't like it. In the name of our Lord, be sure you take the gospel we've just read literally. Our faith tells us that those in authority in the community have authority from Christ. It is He who gave us the grace of our vocation, but it is they who determine whether in their judgment we qualify for our, your community. And then no matter where you are sent, that's your mission. Believe from the depths of your hearts that it is not a human being who is sending you, but Jesus Christ. And the purpose is, in the language of Matthew, quoting our Lord, to be fishers of men, to bring others to Christ. But, sisters, we will be only as effective in the missions to which we are sent as we are ourselves, closely, deeply, firmly, fervently united with our Lord. As I've said and I repeat, there's no such thing as a temporary vocation. We either have a vocation or we don't. And we have a vocation. We are to respond. And, as the apostles did in the gospel for this morning, they left everything. And even the statement that left their father, in my case, left my mother, a widow, to make sure I would not weaken, I waited 7 years before I went back to visit my mother. A vocation is from Christ and for Christ, but it is to those whom Christ, through our superiors, sends us. And the purpose is to bring those whom we serve, whatever else we do, the purpose is to bring them to Jesus Christ. But we'll be only as effective in bringing souls to Christ as we ourselves are deeply, strongly, firmly, totally, utterly devoted to Jesus Christ ourselves. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the vocation you've given us. But dear Lord, you know how human we are. Keep us firm in our commitment to the vocation you've given us, so that we will continue listening to to your call and never hesitate doing whatever you, through the superiors you give us, send us to do. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.